Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on, where are we? On the Nova M Radio Network. Sorry, I'm still a little bit groggy from last night. Well, what a weird night. In reflecting on that last debate, it was McCain sticking his own head in his own carefully knotted noose. But all that stuff about the plumber, Joe the plumber, I'm not going to hit you with a lot of garbage about Joe the plumber tonight because you all have heard it, I'm sure, all day. I'm sure you've heard it on Randy Rhodes' program, probably on Hartman's program, all over television today. You know, the guy turns out to be a really, really strange dude, huh? How about that? Joe the plumber, my ass. Oh, my God. Oh, well, it always turns out that way. What Joe should realize, though, and this is what a lot of us should realize, I think about this all the time. You know, once you catch the spotlight of the national media, and Lord knows, Joe the plumber really caught the spotlight thanks to his good buddy John McCain last night. But once that happens, you know, the last time you had distress in the lower tract is going to be out in the news the next day. You understand what I'm saying? They're going to find out everything about you. And a lot of things that are best left not found out about. Hell, I've got stuff in my past I don't want anybody to know about. Don't you? But once that spotlight falls to you, this guy says, well, I feel like Britney Spears. No. More like G. Gordon Liddy, but not Britney Spears, sweetheart. You got that that media spotlight on you today, and they found out everything about you. First of all, you're a liar. Secondly, you don't pay your taxes. Third, you're a liar again. Well, you lied about being a plumber, and then you lied about being an independent. So, and very, very, very ignorant, because the Obama tax plan will not cause you any to pay any taxes anyway, because you can't tell the difference, Joe the plumber, between a small business's gross receipts and a small business's net profit, apparently. If you think you were going to make $250,000 profit, you must be out of your mind. So the whole thing, the whole story, like so many Republican stories, whether it's the run-up to a war in the Middle East, or some poor schmuck over in East Toledo, which is all Holland, Ohio is. I remember when I lived in Toledo, when Holland declared itself independent of Toledo and formed its own little city that is now nothing but, I don't know, it's just, last time I was in Toledo, I think it was for my sister's funeral, wasn't it, Kathy? Wasn't that the last, that was the last time we were there, and it was just, oh, when I grew up in Toledo, it was a great little feeder city for Detroit, the auto industry. Now it's where, when they give the world an enema, the tube goes. So it's really a shame. But there he was, Joe the plumber. Everything he said was a lie, was a construct, was nonsense. And, of course, the right wing, the conservatives, bereft of heroes, bereft of anyone who makes any sense at all, immediately grabbed on Joe the plumber once McCain brought him up. Oh, great American hero! Well, no, just a typical Republican. And his connection to Charles Keating's son-in-law. God damn, I bet Joe the plumber is going to sit back now and say, okay, I've had my 15 minutes, go away, get out of my driveway. Quick economic slash and burn here from Prairie 2. Hey, Mike, the stock market burned another $1 trillion yesterday. Yeah, we know it went up. What, it go up 400 points today? Burned another $1 trillion yesterday. Declining retail sales, especially new cars, are blamed for the big drop. GM closed another plant today. Shutdown costs are becoming a significant drag on the company. Some people blame GM's problems on not building more small cars. However, Mazda has canceled plans to build a new U.S. plant. The Japanese don't see an opportunity in the decline of Detroit. They have come to the realization that since we have nothing to trade but worthless treasury bonds, that there is little future in the U.S. President Obama will have a hard time rebuilding the U.S. Even a bombed-out Europe in the 40s still had most of its manufacturing capacity still intact. our factories have been looted and pillaged by people like Mitt Romney and sold to China for pennies on the dollar. The educated and experienced workers that made America great have long since lost their jobs and are aging out of the workforce. The good news is that since all the retirement funds have been stolen, they will be available to rebuild our industries. 70 is the new 40. Retirement is for wimps. P.S. The Chinese know something we aren't supposed to find out for another 3 weeks. While Wall Street was up today, mostly on faked economic numbers from the Bush crime family and plunging oil prices that gives a false sense of relief, Asian markets were down double digits again. Reports are coming out of China, where truth is harder to get at than from a White House spokesman, but reports are coming out of China that China has laid off at least 20 million workers in the first half of the year and more since. But nobody knows how many. Observations from travelers are that in areas that cater to the American market, that as many as 80% of factories are shuttered. Container ships are leaving for the U.S. with empty containers with the intent of bringing back commodities like scrap metal and soybeans. China still has something like $2 trillion in cash to get rid of while it's still worth anything. Closer to home, two large hedge funds closed shop today with more expected to follow as wealthy investors are opting for gold bullion instead. And the Federal Reserve has accumulated some $180 billion in deposits from its member banks in the past 2 weeks because of the lack of banking activity. The normal cash on hand is only a couple of billion. I'm increasing my reserve of canned goods. Prairie 2. It's always uplifting to get emails from Prairie 2, isn't it, huh? Makes you want to immediately run to the back of the room and open a vein. But he's right on. As a matter of fact, we have decided that Prairie 2 needs to be the economic advisor to the Molloy program. So as Sharon Gordy is the military affairs correspondent and Bob and Bridget are our ethical advisors, we are adding Bruce Enberg as our, or Prairie 2, however you want to refer to him, as our economics advisor. No, it doesn't pay anything. What, are you crazy? This is the Molloy program on Nova M Radio. Pay? We all do this for free, don't we, Kathy? What else we got here? Dana Milbank, in an online chat, has revealed that the Secret Service is stopping people, preventing reporters, I should say, from interviewing people at Sarah Palin rallies. The Secret Service stopping reporters. Question came in on the online chat. Here's the question. The Secret Service has now labeled the Kill Him report as unfounded. Why isn't the Washington Post giving this report as much coverage as the original false report received? Now, this is a smart ass writing to Dana Milbank wanting to know why, the so-called false report of Kill Him. You know, we all heard. I mean, if you listen to that YouTube video, you can hear it. But that's beside the point. Anyway, Milbank answers this right-wing nut. Glad you asked because I saw this earlier. This is actually about the incident in Scranton, not the one in Clearwater that I wrote about here. I wasn't at the Scranton event, Milbank says, but I have to say the Secret Service is in dangerous territory here. In cooperation with the Palin campaign, they've started preventing reporters from leaving the press section to interview people in the crowd. This is a serious violation of their duty and gets into assisting with the political aspirations of the candidate. It also often makes it impossible for reporters to get into the crowd to question people who say vulgar things. So the Secret Service prevents reporters from getting near the people doing the shouting and then claim it's unfounded because reporters can't get close enough to identify the person. End quote. Dana Milbank, Washington Post. That's some scary stuff. But it makes me, it reminds me, remember when Barack Obama was, in the primary season, when the Secret Service did not protect him in Texas, of all places, and instructed the Dallas police to back off. I'll tell you something. I said this earlier this week. They are trying to kill him. There is a powerful cabal in this country that wants to kill Barack Obama. It's essentially the same people, although, you know, it's been, you know, 45 years, but it's essentially the same people who decided to kill John Kennedy for reasons that were pertinent in 1963. There are reasons that are pertinent now in 2008. And I have, I hate to say this because it once again, I have to put myself in the conspiracy theorist ranks, which is where I'm very comfortable being, by the way, about so many issues in this country. But it puts me firmly in that, in those ranks. And also, I'm getting so tired of wearing this tinfoil hat, but I am pretty much convinced at this point that there is a definite, clandestine, subtle, always there effort to murder Barack Obama. And it just scares the Christ out of me, because if that happens in this country's over. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Coast to Coast, The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
Precious. 23 past the hour. I got this from Matt in New Jersey. Mike, just to let you know, this Sunday, October 19th on C-SPAN between 8 and 10 p.m. will be another presidential debate, but it will include the third-party candidates. It will be held at Columbia University. All candidates that are on enough ballots to win the electoral vote are invited. And then I've got the press release here from the Columbia University Political Union. It's called the Free and Equal Elections Coalition. All six, it says here, all six of the presidential candidates who appear on enough state ballots to acquire the 270 electoral votes needed to become president are invited. They are as follows, listed in alphabetical order by affiliation. Constitution Party candidate Chuck Baldwin, Democratic Party candidate Barack Obama, Green Party candidate Cynthia McKinney, Independent candidate Ralph Nader, Libertarian Party candidate Bob Barr, and Republican Party candidate John McCain. The debate will be moderated by Pacifica Radio's Amy Goodman, the host of Democracy Now! C-SPAN will cover the debate, and live radio broadcasts are expected. This debate will be 8 to 10 p.m. in the Altschul Auditorium, located at 417 International Affairs Building. Yada, yada, yada. I know you're not going to go, but you might want to tune into it. The disclaimer just says this event is sponsored by the Columbia Political Union. Columbia University does not support or oppose candidates for political office. Any opinions expressed related to this event are not the views of the university. So there you have it. Now, of those six candidates, which ones do you think will not show up? Chuck Baldwin, Barack Obama, Cynthia McKinney, Ralph Nader, Bob Barr, and John McCain. Who do you think will not be there? Now, I've linked this, or I will link it, at MikeMalloy.com, so you can peruse it at your leisure later on. What else do we have here? Yesterday, right before the this is from Huffington Post, right before the debate last night, McCain's campaign released a list of 100 former U.S. ambassadors who are endorsing him. 100 former U.S. ambassadors. Second on the list, although her name is misspelled, is Lenore Annenberg, who is currently the president and chairman of the Annenberg Foundation. She's also the widow of the ambassador and philanthropist Walter Annenberg. Miss Annenberg herself was the chief of protocol at the State Department under President Reagan. Now, if the name Annenberg sounds familiar, other than the fact that he used to be the publisher of TV Guide, it's because the name Annenberg also graces the name of the Chicago Education Board, where Barack Obama and William Ayers sat in a room 6 times together. I've got some more on this. Let me take the break and we'll come back and share it with you. Because, you know, if guilt by association is what the McCain campaign is trying to establish, then Mrs. Walter Annenberg is obviously a terrorist, even though she's, I think she's in her 90s. We'll have more for this when you come back, from this when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M.
Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound?
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
So never mind. Where was I? Oh yeah, the Annenberg story. Lenore Annenberg, wife of, I should say, widow of Walter Annenberg, ambassador and philanthropist and publisher and so on and so on and so on. In recent days, as you know, the ho from Wasilla has been screeching and screaming like one of those big white birds that hang out in the pine forests in the outback in Alaska about Obama having served on that board with Ayers, the Chicago Education Board. And you know, Sarah has been just shrieking and wetting her pants over this because Ayers was, of course, as you know, founding member of the Radical 60s Weather Underground group when Barack Obama was in third grade. But since then, since Ayers did what he did, and let me ask you something. Are you aware that the bombs that were planted never went off except one, and that killed 3 members of the Weather Underground? I don't know if you're aware of that. Whereas the bombs that John McCain and other people who answered our nation's call to go kill Vietnamese slaughtered 2.5 million people. And we refer to McCain as a hero. We refer to Ayers as a terrorist, even though Ayers, the only people in the Weather Underground who died were, was it three? I think it was three. Two or three women in a brownstone in New York City who were putting a bomb together. No, not all women. I think it was one woman and 2 men. It's so long ago. Memory does tricks on you, doesn't it? Unless you're a Republican trying to nail a 60s radical that was active when Barack was in third grade to Barack. But let's get, I'm getting away from Mrs. Annenberg. Ayers has been rehabilitated in Chicago society. And as a former Republican representative in Illinois told NPR on Monday, smearing Obama for this association on this board, this association with heirs, is nonsensical. I would come up with a different word, but it would never play on NPR. Republican Representative Diana Nelson, who sits in the Illinois General Assembly, said, quote, "It was never a concern by any of us in the Chicago school reform movement that he had led a fugitive life years earlier. It's ridiculous. There is no reason at all to smear Barack Obama with this association. It's nonsensical, and it just makes me crazy. It's so silly." Well, if Barack Obama is guilty by association for sitting on a board with William Ayers, as this shrieking psycho bitch from Alaska keeps insisting, well, then Mrs. Annenberg is even more guilty. Is she not? Wasn't it her money that to a large extent went into funding or at least contributing to this board? So Mrs. Lenore Annenberg likes to hang out with terrorists and has no business sitting on an education board in Chicago, does she? Well, hell no. And besides Annenberg, that sounds Arabic to me, doesn't it to you? Annenberg. Definitely Arabic. An Annenberg official returned a call to the Huffington Post, that's where the story comes from, Wednesday afternoon, and said, quote, "You wanted to speak, Ms. Annenberg? She's very elderly. She doesn't do press interviews," end quote. Annenberg. Yeah, that's Arabic. My God. Sacramento, California, a lovely city, except it gets just way too hot for me there in the summer. But Republican leaders in Sacramento County took down offensive material from their official Republican Party website. Today, I believe, Bob Alexander sent this to me. The material sought to link Barack Obama to bin Laden again and encourage people to waterboard Barack Obama. Now, some Republican state leaders said that was offensive, taking credit for the site. And it was it's taken down now, but it was SacramentoRepublicans.org. Taking credit, if that's the right word, for the site and its content was the county party chairman, one Craig McLashen, who, by the way, is the husband of Sacramento County Supervisor Roberta McLashen. I'm very confused here. I thought people in Sacramento were much more cosmopolitan than this. Anyway, the Sacramento Bee, the newspaper there, asked Mr. McLashen about the content of that website because they reported on his reaction to hate-filled graffiti that was spray-painted over an Obama display on a fence at Fair Oaks Boulevard and Garfield Avenue in that fair city. And McLashen, the man, an attorney, joined local Democratic Party officials in condemning vandalism to political displays. The vandalism to the Obama display appeared to have been done overnight Monday. As a racial epithet, you know what that would be, of course, profanity, KKK, and the words white power were spray painted, clearly visible from the roadway. Six of the nine fence panels that constituted this political ad for Barack Obama were defaced, were ruined. McLashen said at the time, McLashen, Sacramento County party chairman, Craig McLashen said at the time, "What you are describing to me is not free speech, it's vandalism. We don't condone it." But he defended his website. Here's what he said about his website. Quote, "I'm aware of the content. Some people find it offensive. Others do not. I cannot comment on how people interpret things." Waterboard Barack Obama, torture the Democratic Party nominee to be president? You dumb son of a bitch, are you actually saying that some people find it offensive, others do not. Are you one of them, Mr. McClashen? You don't find that offensive, you psychopathic bastard? Waterboard, torture, Barack Obama? You don't find that offensive? The slime from people like Limbaugh and Hannity and Savage and Glenn Beck and the rest of these pigs has become so embedded in the minds of so many people in this country. This is the end result of 20-plus years of constant, unrelenting, coast-to-coast, border-to-border hate radio that is filled with lies, distortions, untruths. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. The networks and the syndicators who keep pumping this garbage into the collective consciousness of this country, shame on you. You're destroying the country. Now, it doesn't matter to these massive telecom or these media conglomerates. They don't give a goddamn. They don't care. They're not in the business for edification or truth or justice of the American way. They're in the business to make money. And corporate America is just orgasmic to pay these scum like Limbaugh and Beck and the rest of them. Corporate America loves it. This is their protection money that they pay. This is just like the little guy in Newark who runs a bakery, and the goons come in and say, it's going to cost you $300 a week, Charlie, for your protection. And Charlie pays. What choice has he got? Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. And then also in California, down around, it's in the San Bernardino Valley, which is not far from Orange County, I guess. A county Republican group there distributed a newsletter that had a fake $10 bill on it. And the $10 bill, for the face, it shows Barack Obama in kind of a parody of a donkey. And it has with it a watermelon, some barbecued ribs, a pitcher of Kool-Aid, and a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And underneath his picture, it says, Barama Bucks. Barama Bucks. Yeah, sure. Change the B to any number of letters, right? And this is what the Republican Party is doing. This is not parody. This is not satire. This is not free speech. This is slime. This is filth. This is what Republicans have done and what they will continue to do until every last one of these son of a bitches becomes totally neutralized.
Radio right from the left. It's more of Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. And you know, as long as we're talking about all the poison, the hatred that Republicans are putting out about Barack Obama, in case you didn't notice, Barack Obama is not white. And that is, it's not his policies that have the Republican establishment upset. Now, when I say he's not white, you know what I'm saying. When you look at him. Now, the fact that half of his parentage just why is immaterial. This is the United States of America. We have the one drop rule here, okay? But the fact that Barack Obama is dark skinned and looks like an African American. That's what he looks like. Well, that's too much. Too much for the real right wing neo-Nazi white elite in this country. And included in that group is Al Austin. I mentioned this last night. He is the former finance chairman of the National Republican Party and former finance chairman of the Florida Republican Party. Powerful dude. Real estate geek from Tampa. And what he did was he sent out an email to his list of email correspondents with a joke that refers to the assassination of Barack Obama. I talked about this last night, so I don't have to go through it again. But the point that of the story. Oh, by the way, he said he would apologize and offer retraction, but only to the same email list to whom he sent the original assassination joke about Barack Obama. So as far as the rest of America, now that the Associated Press has picked this up and the Tampa Tribune and yada, 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 now they can go to hell. So the point is, you know, all these apologies, making a $10 bill with Barack Obama on the cover and or on the front of it with the stereotypical little elements around that's supposed to indicate an American Negro to these white racists. That's redundant. To these racists. Or sending out a picture of Barack Obama with a noose. I mean, come on. This is just when you start to think that, well, maybe we've finally gotten over a bit of the racist at least the murderous part of racism. I don't think America will ever overcome racism completely. That's just an impossibility. I don't think it ever happened. I really don't. We're not talking that long ago, 1865, when slavery ended. How long ago was that? Huh? 160 years ago? That's about 150 years ago? That's about it, isn't it? So we'll never get over racism. But the hope for people in my generation, some of us, would be that we got over the murderous aspect of racism. You know, the part where you drag a black man behind your pickup truck until you dismember him and his body parts go flying up and down your white suburban street. You know, that kind of thing. Or lynching. Or shooting people, throwing people off bridges like they did here in Georgia. So, you know, that was kind of the hope for a lot of people in my generation. If we can just get past the murderous part of racism, we'll never get past the other part of it. At least not people in my generation. Younger people right now, the so-called millennial generation, they have a better shot at this than you and I, Truth Seeker, if you're over the age of 40, will ever have. So we'll see what happens. But the reason I mention this stuff is because I am convinced that there is an element in this country that wants to kill Barack Obama and probably will make an attempt. Just like they wanted to kill Jack Kennedy, they wanted to kill Martin Luther King Jr., they wanted to kill Bobby Kennedy, they wanted to kill Medgar Evers, the list goes on and on. They wanted to kill even George Wallace. And usually what you do when you want to kill someone, a political figure, you find that loose ball, the guy walking around with all the loose ball bearings in his head. Whether it's Timothy McVeigh or, you know, pick a name. Lee Harvey Oswald, Sirhan, James Earl Ray. It doesn't make any difference who it is. Brenner, was that the guy's name that shot Wallace? You find the guy that hears voices. Or you find the guy that's convinced that God's instructing him. Or you find the guy, and then you very carefully mold him into believing that he is committing an act of patriotism. Or you don't even go to that trouble. You just set up a patsy and you do the killing yourself. So, it's coast to coast, border to border. You can find this in the so-called flyover states. You can find it on the coast. You can find it in cosmopolitan New York, a hip Sacramento, a crazed degenerate Tampa, whacked out Dallas-Fort Worth, just mind-blowingly right-wing Orange County. You can find it in the suburbs of Detroit. It's all over the place. Kill him. Kill him. Lynch him. Hang him. Terrorist. Assassin. Arab. Muslim. Jesus. So that's the reason we talk about it. I've gotten a couple of emails to say things like, Mike, stop talking about this. You're just going to make the crazy people, you know, try to kill him. No. No, I don't think so. Nobody would be inspired to do that from listening to this little talk show. But they would be inspired to do it. Well, you know how. All right, stick around. We'll take some phone calls when we come back, maybe, if you are good talk radio phone callers. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back, 7 past the hour. And don't forget, last night when McCain referred to the Kennedy assassination as the intervention in Dallas and then corrected himself, they want him dead. Now we're going to play for you a bit of sound. Al Jazeera, an Al Jazeera reporter, you know, Americans, a lot of Americans work for Al Jazeera Network. I know the attempt that was made 4 or 5 years ago to make Al Jazeera sound like some propaganda arm of Islamists who wanted to murder Christian babies. But, you know, that's simply not the case. Al Jazeera is a news gathering organization not unlike CNN. An Al Jazeera reporter was outside a Sarah Palin speaking event in Ohio recently and interviewed some of the McCain-Palin supporters about their thoughts on Obama. Now, remember last night in the debate, McCain defended these people, many of whom have shouted the N-word about Obama or have said, kill him or he's a terrorist, all this garbage. McCain thinks these are fine, upstanding citizens and sees nothing wrong with their violent hate speech. Now, you may hear the N-word in here. We looked at the transcript, and it's not the N-word that is so offensive. It's very close to it, but it sounds like the N-word, and we apologize for playing that. But in context of the entire piece, I think you can draw your own conclusions. All right, these are various people interviewed, and this is out, I believe it's out on YouTube. Did we put a link up to this? Oh, not yet? Okay, we will, so you can hear it yourself. But these are McCain-Palin supporters in Ohio. And again, I don't mean to sound naive when I talk about, oh, I'm shocked about Republicans in California and Oregon and New York and Texas who are just racist degenerates. I understand. It's like I said, it's in the heartland too. Here's a bunch of people walking into a McCain-Palin rally in Ohio.
What is our counter you're going to end up black.
When you've got a Negro running for high president, you need a first stringer. He's definitely a second stringer.
He seems like a sheep or a wolf in sheep's clothing, to be honest with you. And I believe Palin, she's filled with the Holy Spirit, and I believe she's going to bring honesty and integrity to the White House.
He's related to a known terrorist, for one.
He is friends with a terrorist of this country.
He must support terrorists. You know, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it must be a duck. And that, to me, is Obama.
Just the whole the Muslim thing and everything. I mean, everybody's still kind of... A lot of people have forgotten about 9/11, but I don't know. It's just kind of a little unnerving.
Obama and his wife, I'm concerned that they could be anti-white, that he might hide that.
I don't like the fact that he thinks us white people are trash, because we're not.
Hey! Taylor and his friends lined the road leading to the rally to show their support for Barack Obama.
Hey, woman's right!
Their body, their
baby
choice!
Baby killer! Call it what you want, it's baby killer!
Taylor is from St. Clairsville and is shocked by the names he's been called by his own neighbors.
I've been called the N-word. I've become a Muslim. I've been called a un-American. I'm worried with these people. The tension's getting thicker and thicker. With people like that, it's starting to scare me.
Worried about what?
Be specific. I'm afraid some of these people might try to hurt Obama.
Some of my former neighbors, huh? And I've got plenty of them here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, trust me. But... It's so surreal. It's like bad acid. It's Halloweenish. It's spooky, especially when you see the video and you see these white people. I look at these white people and I think to myself, Jesus Christ. I mean, these people look like me. Well, you know what I mean. They got basically the same kind of bone structure and skin color and hair texture and, hell, they live in the, part of the United States where I was raised. They are me. But I am no more them than I am, from Arcturus. I look at these people and I think, they look like me. They talk like me. I mean, their inflections, their tone of voice, the language they speak. But I would no more claim these people than I would claim a dog's corpse beside of the road that had been laying there for 4 days, was bloated and loaded with flies and maggots. These people are disgusting. It's horrifying. Horrifying. Here we are, where we are, and these dumb sons of bitches are walking around saying those things that you just heard. Oh, and much more, much more. This is just my own personal take. How did I come to live in a country that's filled with such dumbasses? How did that happen? Mentioning my 4-year-old again, where she goes to preschool, they have the kids do Pledge of Allegiance in the morning. Now, I may be opposed to that, but I remember when I was a kid growing up, I was in elementary school when they added Under God. Back during one of the frequent Red Scares in this country. But, my daughter is learning the Pledge of Allegiance, which is okay. I mean, it's not going to warp her brain. It didn't warp mine. If anything, it made me challenge the whole idea, which I'm hoping is what will happen to Molly. But when I think about my child learning, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. What the hell? What? That's not us. That's not us, especially when you listen to these filthy white people. That's not us. With liberty and justice for all. Who are they kidding? Oh, he's a Neger. He's an Arab. He's a terrorist. He's a baby killer. Jesus God. It's just... All right, let's do this. Of all the outrageous, disgusting, hate-filled crap to spew out of the McCain's mouth last night, perhaps the most offensive to a lot of people in this country was the way he mocked and disparaged women, women who were forced to terminate their pregnancies because their own lives were at risk. We which, by the way, is usually the only reason a late-term pregnancy abortion ever occurs. Now, remember, a woman who has to terminate her pregnancy for her own health wanted to be pregnant. And if she didn't have sexual intercourse with the intent of becoming pregnant, once she became pregnant, she had every legal right to terminate that pregnancy in the first trimester with no questions asked. So what would prompt someone to do a late-term abortion? Usually it is a matter of dire health issues, horrific issues. And a woman who has to make that decision, I would imagine, I've never known anyone who's had to make a decision for late-term abortion, and not being female, but I can imagine it must be one of the most horrendous decisions a human being can make.
I have known someone who had to make that decision. It was somebody I met, actually, as a pregnant woman when I was pregnant with Molly. And she had to terminate her pregnancy near the end of her second term because she became so diabetic that to carry the pregnancy to term, they said that she would probably lose both kidneys and end up on dialysis the rest of her life. So she was going to, I mean, that was her option.
Right, right.
And it was an awful, awful, awful choice that she had to make.
Well, you had a bit of that, too, when you were pregnant with Molly, gestational diabetes.
I had gestational diabetes, right. But not to the point where
not
I was going to lose any major organs. And
I
suffered enough miscarriages to know that I was incredibly peeved to hear John McCain last night.
Right. Now, keep in mind, as McCain mocks these women faced with this terrible situation, keep in mind that a woman who has to terminate a pregnancy for her own health is doing so under the most extreme emotional, psychological, spiritual stress. First, Obama makes a statement about a woman's right to privacy or to choose an abortion. Then McCain, making those air quotes with his hands, you know, quote, quote, suggested that only pro-abortion, there's no such thing. Extremists use the suspicious excuse of health of the mother to justify the motive. I guess some pregnant moms just hate their unborn baby so much they get abortions for kicks. Right, John?
Both those who believe in a choice and those who are opposed to abortion can come together and say we should try to prevent unintended pregnancies by providing appropriate education to our youth, communicating that sexuality is sacred and that they should not be engaged in cavalier activity, and providing options for adoption and helping single mothers if they want to choose to keep the baby. Those are all things that we put in the Democratic platform for the first time this year, and I think that's where we can find some common ground, because nobody's pro-abortion. I think it's always a tragic situation. We should try to reduce these circumstances.
Let's give Senator McCain
just
a short
again,
response.
Just again, the example of the eloquence of Senator Obama. He's health of the mother. You know, that's been stretched by the pro-abortion movement in America to mean almost anything. That's the extreme pro-abortion position, quote, health.
Don't you, Kathy, you know, all day today, Kathy walked around the house trying to stay away from the sharps because I got the feeling that she was ready to slash and burn somebody for that kind of a... The statement is not just condescending. It displays a kind of unconsciousness that is beyond belief and a willingness. Obviously, McCain has gone over to the complete dark side. He's completely been absorbed like so much liquid in your stomach 3 hours after you've eaten something. He's been absorbed into the digestive system of the religious right.
You know, if McCain had testicular cancer, I would love to do some air quotes and say, oh, I guess it's for the health of the man that you want to have your testicle removed, right, for your health.
We'll be back
baby
after
baby killer.
We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Freedom of choice. No, you can't make me sacrifice my freedom of choice. No, you can't make us sacrifice our freedom of choice.
your host for a Pence, Friends future, it's Mike Malloy.
Dave the plumber is maybe in a little bit of trouble, aside from all the trouble he's in right now when it comes time to vote. It was reported on, I think it was NBC News tonight, everybody covered Joe the plumber. Boy, did he get his 15 minutes, huh? But anyway, he might be stopped from voting in Ohio if the Republicans succeed in what they're trying to do up there. They are trying to challenge every ballot where the driver's license was not presented, and there's no record of it being presented to the voting registrar. And it doesn't match. You know, if it doesn't match, Joe misspelled his own name on his it's different, the news is reporting, on his voter registration card and his driver's license. So if the Republicans succeed in what they're trying to do, and these filthy bastards, you know, this never stops with Republicans in the past 10 years. Ever since the since that pig Newt Gingrich led the so-called Republican Revolution that took over the House in 94, and the American people came out of the ether and realized that the Republicans have nothing. They have nothing to offer except this crazy, phony, hand-waving, spittle-flecking belief in their cloud being. Their stance against abortion, which is really a stance against women, and their commitment to stop gay folk from marrying. You know, gay people don't give a goddamn what the Christian Church or the Catholic Church or the Hindus or the Muslims or the Jews. They don't care what they say about a sacrament of marriage. That's not what marriage is about. Marriage is a contract sanctioned by a state government. That's all it is. As far as the sanctimonious horse crap that religion has overlaid onto marriage, I have yet to meet a gay person that says, well, we'd love to get married, but we can't because the Catholic Church won't let us. That's not what they say. What they say is we would love to get married, but we can't because the state of Ohio won't let us. Or state of fill in the blank. There's only three states now that permit same-sex marriage. So the Republicans have nothing to offer anyone except that 0.1% of the upper echelon who loves to just beat the living crap out of the other 99.9% of Republicans with that phony promise, you know, get out there and do the work. Make sure that I continue to get wealthier and wealthier, and maybe someday you can get it too, boy. And these stupid-ass Republicans buy into that. Multi-generational stupidity, willful ignorance, middle class hanging on by their fingernails, but they continue to vote against their own best interests because the Republican elite continues to tell them, be a good little house Negro, well, the Caucasian version, and someday you may get what I've got. But in the meantime, get out there, boy. Get back to work. Well, the Ohio Secretary of State, Jennifer Brunner, is fighting. And I'll tell you how when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
just about 25 before the hour. All right, in Ohio, the Ohio Republican Party has challenged, just a blanket challenge of over 200,000 new registered voters. Now, the reason they're challenging is because they know that probably not one of those is Republican. The Secretary of State of Ohio, Democrat Jennifer Brunner, told the Huffington Post today that she's ready not only to fight this battle in front of the Supreme Court, but she's also willing to wage a new fight if necessary to make sure hundreds of thousands of new voters are not forced onto provisional ballots on Election Day. This is what Republicans do. Republicans, essentially, I'm talking about the rank and file, are cowardly sons of bitches. They're afraid of their own shadow. They're afraid of anything different. They're afraid of everything. They're ignorant. And they understand that their party leadership can offer nothing to anybody. And the Republicans, what they don't understand, the rank-and-file Republicans, that with good leadership in this country, they're going to benefit too. But they don't see it that way, you see, because they have the mentality, the reasoning ability of maybe an advanced six-year-old. But the essential truth of Republican rank and file is they are cowards. They are complete cowards. Absolute, just totally afraid of everything. And they understand that their party offers nothing to anybody. So they hunker down in their little houses and their jobs that are disappearing. And people say, well, Mike, you ought to feel sorry for these people. Reach out to them. Yeah, I'll reach out to them with a goddamn claw hammer. I don't want anything to do with these people. They have as much ability. You know, these are the same people that talk about, well, you know, those black people on welfare, all they have to do is pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Well, all these dumbass white people have to do is come out of the fog and realize how they've been jerked around like marionettes for the past 40 years by their Republican Party leadership. What a bunch of screwballs you people are. But I know you're listening. I know some of you right-wingers listen. What a bunch of jackasses you are. I mean, just complete jackleg freak morons. But the essential part of your nature is that of a coward. So the Republican Party leadership, knowing that all these new votes, these new voters are Democrats, they've got to do something. So they challenge the legitimacy of the registration. Jesus Christ. So the Republican leadership has been calling for a wholesale comparison of the state's nearly 600,000 new active voters against data collected by the local Department of Motor Vehicles. And what the pig bastards have done, you see, they wait until less than 3 weeks before the election. The Secretary of State, Jennifer Brunner, says that these demands are meant to create confusion at the polls and keep all the ballots from being counted. Why, of course, Jennifer understands. Now, Brunner says that according to the League of Women Voters, there's a communist organization if ever one existed, right? According to the League of Women Voters, there are only four, one, two, three, four, four instances of, quote, illegal voting, end quote, or the actual casting of an illegitimate ballot between 2002 and 2006, when just under 8 million ballots were cast. Four. So Brunner says, since that's the reality, Acorn's registration problems are being improperly lumped in with the casting of bad ballots. You know, we talked about this last night. Acorn gives anybody a job. It doesn't make any difference if they're ex-cons or drug addicts or junkies or alcoholics. Somebody stumbles in, yeah, I need some money. Okay, here, go register voters. Get these filled in. So what do some of these people do? They fill them in improperly? Yeah. And then they turn back into Acorn. And then Acorn checks them against a list of residences or whatever they have. And they see, uh-oh, well, these aren't real. So Acorn flags these and then turns them into the voter registration office because a crime has now been committed. By Acorn? No. By the person who fraudulently filled out a voter registration application. So Acorn then is accused. Acorn is one of the most respected grassroots organizations in the history of the country. It's been around since the early 70s. They do great work. But what they do is a threat to the cowards, the snot eaters in the Republican Party, these miserable sons of bitches who live in places like Ohio and Missouri and Northern California and New York and, you know, all over the place. They're like cockroaches. They're everywhere. You just don't see them until you turn on the lights. So these filthy little cowardly Republicans who stand around and talk about the Negro have to be controlled. So how are they controlled? The Republican Party leadership in Ohio says, well, we're going to challenge all these votes because if we don't, the Democrats are going to win. They're going to win anyway, you dumb bastards. The Democrats are going to win. And then all of our constituents that we have kept fearful and naked and stupid and willfully ignorant for the past 20 years are going to realize something. If you want to live like a Republican, you have to vote like a Democrat. And we're going to lose our base. And we'll lose our serfs. We'll lose our slaves. We'll lose our cockroaches. So they challenge 200,000 new registrants. Like we said last night, false voter registration doesn't mean anything about illegal voting or suppressing the vote or stealing the vote, which is what the Republicans do. Phony or false voter registration gets stopped before the person ever gets to the voting booth, if such a person even exists, which they don't. Why doesn't mainstream media understand that phony registration only goes so far? What, Mickey Mouse is going to show up at the goddamn precinct and try to cast a vote? No, I don't think so. Is Jive Turkey going to show up at the precinct and try to cast a vote? No, I don't think so. But does mainstream media, there's some freak on CNN, I saw today just a little bit of it, had on was doing a back and forth with somebody from Acorn. And this was a CNN reporter. And I could have reached through the television and wrung this guy's neck. Snotty, smarmy, ignorant questions of this woman who is trying to be patient with him. Sir, if somebody registers in a phony way, we catch it. We turn it over to the registrar. But someone named Hand Jive doesn't get to cast a ballot, you dumbasses. The whole Acorn thing is a no thing, a nothing. It's another Republican. This is what Republicans do. They don't want people to vote. They want confusion. They want to deep six the voter rolls. They want to keep people away from the polls on election day. They want to challenge this and they want to make things up. They are sick, cowardly bastards who have nothing to offer the American people. Nothing. Except, let's not let the queers get married. Let's make sure Jesus is in the state house. Oh, and let's reassert our control over these goddamn uppity women. And as far as a Negro being... please. Please. The Republican Party in Ohio wants the Secretary of State, Jennifer Brunner, to provide the state's 88 separate registrars or boards of election with their respective shares of all these new applications, these new registrations. And day before yesterday, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Ohio agreed with the Republicans and gave Brunner until Friday to drop the lists. Well, last night, Brunner appealed that decision to the U.S. Supreme Court, which she, U.S. Supreme Court, which she said is now awaiting a response brief from her Republican opponents. Brunner said, the best information I have is that it's likely the Republican Party would be given a deadline to file a brief today. And then we'll see what the court does. Well, Secretary Brunner, I just hope that the Supreme Court does not do to Ohio what they did to Florida on December 12th, 2000. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Know the M.
America, one flying monkey at a time. It's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. All right, phone calls. Let's start with George, who is calling from New Mexico, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, George.
Hello.
Hey, hi.
All right, I've been holding here listening to the show.
All right, now you're on the air.
Oh, great. Well, I just was involved in a push-pull, I'm told by one of your producers, I guess, and it was leading us into the Republican area, and By the halfway through, I realized what was going on. And as I'm talking to the person, I'm realizing they were Indian. So the Republicans are doing this push-pull, and I guess they outsourced to a call center in India.
I'm sure that's exactly what they're doing. Republicans don't want anyone in America to have a job, even the ones who are doing the dirty work for them.
Well, to me, all this talk about keeping the jobs in America and giving incentives for the Americans, they're all such lying, I was told not to curse, they're all such lying bastards, if you excuse me for that one there, but
sure.
You get sick of this stuff.
I know.
Anyway.
So how does one, not you necessarily, George, respond to this sort of stuff? What do you do? Give me a solution. I've got lots of questions. I have no answers, so give me one.
For them sending the jobs out of America, or how do I respond?
Well, the fact that they use push-pulls to try to get someone to commit to something they don't want to commit to. Just the whole overview. What, in other words, solve all the problems here. You got 30 seconds.
I have solved all problems of our country in 30 seconds. Okay.
Right.
Will you give me the presidency if I can do it?
You can have anything you want, George, as far as I'm concerned. But
I'm a Vietnam vet, and I fought for my country, and there's a lot of other vets out there, and I see all these signs, Vets for McCain and stuff, and I really am lined up with you on your show as far as why do people that think they want to be rich go vote for the Republicans? They never do anything for the working person.
Never.
And I don't know where it's all going. I can't say what's going to happen, or I don't have the answer. I really don't. I just know that we can't have McCain in office, and these guys have been lying to us forever, since I was a kid, since Vietnam, since Nixon, since everybody. So
I hear you.
I don't know what to tell you, Mike, as far as solving the problem. I just know who I'm voting for when the time comes.
I hear that. All right, George, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. I'm sorry you don't have solutions. Jesus, I wish somebody would call this program with a solution. God knows I don't have any. I have listened to certain liberal talk show hosts over the past 10 years who seem to have answers to problems. I wish I could develop answers to problems. Oh, my God. Sharon is calling from Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Sharon?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I've been waiting a while, and I'm glad I waited. I just wanted you to know smear isn't the only word to use. In the very Republican town that I live, I got home about 4:05 today. The phone was ringing. I didn't get to it very quickly. Listened to the message. It was, did you know that Obama is part of a terrorist group? Did you know that Obama is responsible for having killed numerous Americans with this terrorist group? I just about flipped. Well, anyway, it ended with, this is paid for by the RNC and approved by John McCain. And I thought, you know, at 65 years old, disabled the whole bit, I've had enough, and you want to know what to do about America? Well, I got a big mouth, and by golly, I don't care how disabled I am, I'm going to get out there and start hooting.
Well, do you have any answers, Sharon?
Well, in 65 years with an eidetic memory, I've seen an awful lot. And every time I thought I had an answer and got out there and started speaking up,
yeah,
I was in trouble.
Yeah,
I mean, threats, you name it. It was just ridiculous. Did it scare me? Not really. It just made me do it a little bit more subtly. Does it scare me now? Yeah, it does, because it's kind of like, and I was raised Republican, and I saw through that when I was about 20.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw through that on the day of the Tonkin Gulf incident. I thought, I don't care if it's Republican or Democrat, what's going on here is crooked.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the only answer that I have to it is you can't just sit still, because what's happening now is the Republicans are really busy planting a real killing field. You know, they're like hell-bent that they're going to get rid of our Obama, and they're going to destroy us all in the process. And what to do about it? Scream and holler. And I mean, at this point where my husband works, his co-workers, a lot of them older women, keep telling him that they're totally confused. They get these phone calls. They don't know who to believe. The churches in our town highly, highly push the idea that you got to vote Republican because those Democrats abort babies.
Mm-hmm.
And they overlook the fact that how many people have been slaughtered in Iraq, you know, because that we're supposed to do. That's what Jesus wants them to do, because those people didn't accept Jesus, okay? And they caused 9/11. That's how misinformed they are.
Well, you know, the only thing people like you and I can do, Sharon, the only thing is to just keep trying to resist. And by that I mean just keep throwing the truth out into the universe and hope that the universe will respond. Thanks, Sharon. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be back after the break, y'all. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
story in your eyes. It's been shining down.
It is 7 past the hour. Remember last night, my name's Mike Malloy. You remember last night McCain said he wasn't, he didn't care about some old washed up terrorist. Remember that? In reference to Ayers. And remember when he said that, he doesn't think the negativity should continue. According to CNN, Republicans have now launched an enormous wave of phone calls today accusing Obama, their words, of, quote, having worked closely with domestic terrorist Bill Ayers, end quote. The calls are part of a $70 million last Republican push for John McCain. According to the sources, hundreds of thousands of calls are being made in at least 6 hard-fought states, including Virginia, North Carolina, and Ohio, and that's probably what our caller from Wisconsin was talking about. Some of the calls are robocalls. A spokesman for Obama said the calls were dishonorable and dishonest. Bill Burton said, quote, John McCain's campaign has admitted that the economy is a losing issue for them, so he's chosen to launch dishonorable and dishonest attacks like this, end quote. It's unbelievable. McCain's entire campaign centers on Bill Ayers. This miserable, cancer-eaten son of a bitch has offered nothing to the American people. And his whore from Wasilla, Alaska, offers nothing but a chance to get her clutches around McCain's neck at some point after, in her fantasy, she becomes vice president so that she can ascend to the presidency and Jesus will be so happy. He will split open the heavens and return, even without an enormous pile of corpses. So they're doing this. Here's what it says. Quote, hello, I'm calling for John McCain and the RNC because you need to know that Barack Obama has worked closely with domestic terrorist Bill Ayers, whose organization bombed the U.S. Capitol, the Pentagon, a judge's home, and killed Americans. And Democrats will enact an extreme leftist agenda if they take control of Washington. Barack Obama and his Democratic allies lack the judgment to lead our country. This call was paid for by McCain Palin, 2008, and the Republican National Committee at 202-863-8500. Now, of course, the only deaths attributed to Weatherman bombs were 3 members of the group itself. Jesus Christ. They never bombed the Pentagon. Christ, I don't believe I'm saying this. They never bombed the U.S. Capitol. Oh, my God. Well, I'll tell you what. There are going to be a lot of people in this country who listen to this and just turn around and say to their spouse, oh, my God, I can't vote for him. Oh, God, Hazel, what are we going to do? Well, I don't know, Julius. I really don't. I guess we better vote for McCain. Marty Ellen writes, I agree with your hypothesis that certain elements within our corporate political community might be planning for Obama's assassination if he wins the election. As someone who is 58 years old, I'm old enough to remember most of the major assassinations of the 20th century. I've noticed a pattern. It is always those politicians who capture the public's imagination, who give us hope, who are in a position to bring about change for the better. Those are the ones who always seem to be targeted. They killed off all of our most charismatic and effective leaders of the 60s. and it didn't matter whether those leaders were black or white. I've noticed the same pattern in other countries as well, such as the recent assassination of Benazir Bhutto in Pakistan. She was charismatic and had the potential to unite the Pakistani people, so they decided to kill her. Of course, Musharraf did it in such a way that he had plausible deniability. He just did not provide Bhutto with any police protection, leaving her vulnerable to any crazy person who came along. Sounds sort of like when police protection was removed from that Obama rally in Texas a while back, doesn't it? Were they hoping someone would come to this rally with a gun to do the dirty deed? The bottom line is anyone who is progressive and has the ability to unite the masses becomes a target in our country as well as other countries. So now we have McCain Palin ginning up their crowds with a hate so intense that one of their crazy supporters might decide to take a gun and kill the, quote, terrorists, end quote. Will McCain Palin take responsibility if that happens? I doubt it. As an Obama supporter, I can only hope he recognizes the seriousness of these threats to his life and takes the maximum precautions to protect himself and his family. You know, when you have someone like, thanks for the email, when you have someone like Colin Powell, and we all know that Colin Powell is in a different time, Colin Powell would have been referred to, some of my black friends say, as a house Negro, because Colin Powell understood what he had to do to reach the pinnacle of power that he reached. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, because not being an American of African descent, I'm not sure how that hierarchy works with inside the so-called black community, but I'll take their word for it. Aside from that, Colin Powell is a combat veteran, and yes, he was involved in the war crimes of Vietnam. To what extent, I don't know. It's my understanding that he covered up the My Lai investigation, refused to allow it to go forward when he was a major or a colonel for at least a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And if you don't remember what My Lai was, it really doesn't matter that much anymore, does it? But Colin Powell, a combat veteran, and a man who one has to assume has a certain element of courage where it concerns being a black man in a highly vulnerable and visible position in American politics, i.e. chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Secretary of Defense, and then Secretary of State, that Colin Powell has a certain element of courage. And when it was suggested to him back in, when was it, 88, 92, 96, maybe it was 96, to run against, I think it was Bill Clinton. This is before they put the little jerky Bob Dole in there with his automatic pen and his Viagra and his child molesting glances at Britney Spears. Before they put him in, it was presented to Colin Powell, the possibility of running, and his wife and he had a discussion, and it was made fairly clear that he was not going to run because he didn't want to be shot. Those are his words. I'm paraphrasing. Shot, assassinated, harmed. I think his message came through pretty clearly. And now, 12 years later, we have Barack Obama, who is going to win this election. There is not a bit of doubt, and even with the challenges put forward by the putrid Republican Party in battleground states, so-called, even with the voter suppression that is attempted every single election cycle by these worthless sons of bitches to get so-called minorities to stay home, even with all of that, Barack Obama is going to win. And he's probably going to win in a major electoral college landslide. I can only say what I've been saying, that I'm becoming totally convinced that they're looking for someone to kill him. They being the Republicans, the conservatives, and I'm also totally convinced that the effort won't stop once he's elected.
They came out their houses, And they looked around, but they didn't see no one in my country. 'Tis if they to take swings at each other on talk show TV. And because each time you listen to Right Wing Radio, God kills a kitten.
21 past the hour. They're called the Hempstead 15. They were Iraq war veterans who are with the IVAW, Iraq Veterans Against the War, who were demonstrating last night outside the debate at Hofstra University. Let me share something with you. On Wednesday, October 15th, 2008, that's last night, a peaceful protest outside the third presidential debate at Hofstra University on Long Island was met with violence and misconduct by police. Iraq Veterans Against the War had a clear mission that night to ensure that the issues most important to veterans would be at the forefront of the debate. With over 4,183 service members having been killed in Iraq at the time of the protest, it's unforgivable that the candidates have been allowing the occupation of Iraq and its casualties to fall into avoidable talking points instead of focused attention. At 7 p.m., the night of the debate, last night, IVAW members led a contingent of a few hundred peaceful protesters to the main gate of Hofstra University. As per our letter to moderator Bob Schieffer, because we hadn't received notice that two of our veterans would be allowed to enter the debate to address the candidates, a small, uniformed contingent of veterans physically attempted entry. Immediately, police began arresting those who, quote, crossed the line, end quote. They then began using horses to physically knock protesters back away from the Hofstra gates. As the order to get back on the sidewalk was being complied to, at least one officer charged his horse up the curb and onto the sidewalk, directly resulting in at least three injuries, including two Iraq veterans. Nick Morgan, a former Army sergeant, was trampled, knocked out, and had his face crushed by the hoof of a horse. Witnesses say that police left him unconscious on the sidewalk for up to 10 minutes before arresting him. Nick, disoriented and obviously suffering a concussion, was initially refused medical treatment beyond a simple piece of gauze taped to his face. When Morgan was escorted onto the bus in handcuffs, he didn't know where he was or why he was arrested. Police initially refused to bring him to the hospital, regardless of his potentially life-threatening condition. It wasn't until other members of Iraq Veterans Against the War demanded he be allowed to see a doctor that the police hesitantly put Nick into an ambulance. At the hospital, Morgan received stitches, and it was discovered after an X-ray that his right cheekbone was clearly displaced and pushed back into his skull. After treatment, the semi-conscious veteran was brought to Nassau County Headquarters Jail and shackled to a bench with the rest of us. With 15 in total now sitting in jail, the officers and detectives began taunting and harassing Nick, with all of us witnessing this misconduct by police. We, the so-called Hempstead 15, were issued the same summons and case number for disorderly conduct and failure to obey a lawful order. On November 10, 2008, the Marine Corps birthday, and one day before Veterans Day, we will be heard in court. We'd like to invite you to come out in support of the very freedoms granted by the United States Constitution that we swore to uphold and defend when joining the military. First District Court, County of Nassau, 99 Main Street, Hempstead, New York, room 268. I hope to see you all there for a peaceful action. Signed, Sergeant Christopher Goldsmith, Iraq Veterans Against the War. Now, the reason I'm sharing this with you, obviously, is so you'll take notice, because it's, I don't know if it's being reported. I really don't care where else is being reported, but you can go to the IVAW.org. Would that be it? Iraq Veterans Against the War. and stay current with this. We have at our website, we're going to post, I think, about an 18-minute video of these people being beaten up. These are Iraq veterans. These are Iraq veterans. Okay, be careful, Mike. You're going to start getting very pissed off. A total of 10 veterans were arrested during the action. Mathis Chereau, Army Sergeant. Christopher Goldsmith, Army Sergeant. Adam Kokesh, Marine Sergeant. Mike Spinato and Jeff Millard, Army Sergeants. Marlissa Grogan, Marine Captain. Nathan Peld, U.S. Navy. Nick Morgan, Army Sergeant. James Gilligan, Marine Corps, 6 years. And Jose Vasquez, Army and Army Reserves, for the past 15 years. The email was sent out by Wendy Barranco, president of the Iraq Veterans Against the War in Los Angeles. She was a combat medic, specialist in the U.S. Army, served her time in Tikrit, Iraq. So, any chance anybody might feel like responding? Go to Iraq Veterans Against the War, IVAW. I think their website is IVAW.org, IVAW.org. And also tonight, you can go to MikeMalloy.com and take a look at the video. Iraq veterans beaten up, bloodied, busted. Oh, Jesus.
Here's your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Second time today. Everybody scatters and hopes it goes away. How many kids they've murdered?
25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. James is calling from Victorville, California, listening on Sirius. James, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Yeah, I've got a little scenario thing that I think just might happen. Get your tinfoil hats on. Let's go.
Okay.
Barack Obama wins the presidency.
Yeah.
And either the Republicans start a federal lawsuit, you know, about voter fraud, in quotes,
uh-huh.
or he's assassinated. What happens is there are now riots in the streets, and George W. Bush, who is still in office at the time, decides to declare martial law and stick as president, stay as president. And it's over.
That has been put out there by that scenario by several people who have the same concerns as you do, as I do.
Yeah, and I do have a solution, but it's not pretty.
Can it be said on the air?
Yes.
Okay.
Revolution.
Oh, is that all? I thought you were going to say something really radical. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, don't worry about Roe versus Wade or the abortion thing, because that'll just take away, you know, a right-wing rallying point. They'll never get rid of it. They'll never let it go.
Well, that's true. Year after year after year, they just absolutely jerk the religious right by the neck with that issue, and the religious right always just go, oh, okay. Yeah, you know, over and over and over again. And it doesn't make any difference. All the way down to county commissioner, they use that issue to jerk people around. But you're absolutely correct. It is the greatest stimulant to getting the mouth breathers out to vote that the Republican Party has ever had. The Republican Party, I don't think they have, in 40 years, I don't think they've inspired someone to go to the polls because of their economic plans or their foreign policy plans or their domestic plans. It's always keep the queers from getting married and invade a woman's right to privacy and put her back in her place by overturning Roe v. Wade. That's all they've had. And the sad part is, and I think you probably know this, James, we live in a country that is so chock-a-block with dumbasses that they just keep going for it over and over and over again. So
yeah, well, I'm a rare breed. I'm a gun-toting liberal truck driver.
Well, I'm not a truck driver, but I have more guns than should be allowed, frankly. But thanks, James. Take care, pal. All right, not more than should be allowed, but you know what I mean. Oh, wait a minute. I guess I am a truck driver. I don't do it for a living, but I have a truck. That's not what he meant. Dave is calling from Huntington Beach, California, listening on the Internet. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. Well, I'm one of those queers, and I got married.
No.
Oh, God, they're just up in arms over here in California. Outside.
Yeah, what is this Proposition 8?
Well, a few years ago they had Proposition 22, which was a law that said that marriage was defined as between a man and a woman.
Right.
And the Supreme Court struck it down.
Well, yeah, because it's not defined as that. That's how religious organizations, and they're entitled to. You know, a religion, for its exclusive members, can define a tree as something that grows under your bed, or that God is a chair in your living room. It doesn't make any difference if a religion wants to define it that way, but that's not what marriage is. Marriage is a legal contract.
Exactly. And so the righties came out and said, now we're going to put it into the state constitution. They're not satisfied with, you know.
Well, that's not going to happen in California, is it, Dave?
It is.
No.
The Proposition 8 is right now we're a little bit behind in the polls, and it's really crunch time. There's tens of millions of dollars coming from the Mormon Church, from the Knights of Columbus, and from out-of-state right-wing organizations, and we have very effective ads here, but we can't, you know, they're outspending us 3-2 right now.
But I thought California was a progressive state. California is where not fads begin, but trends begin. It's always been a leader in this country. What the hell is going on? I can't believe your voters are going to do that.
Well, the right wing is doing what they always do, and they're putting out lie after lie after lie, and it's working, unfortunately.
Well, it goes back to my favorite lament, is that we live in a country that is just chock-a-block with dumbasses.
Well, there you are. But, you know, if you were asking for solutions earlier in the program.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, as a gay man, it's always been the same. It's one-on-one. It's you get to know somebody, and you say, oh, by the way, I'm gay. They already know you. They know who you are.
Right.
And then it becomes a non-issue.
Right.
And the right, they're mainly going on about these activist liberal judges. Don't you love that? Turns out the guy
that's one word, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's hyphenated anyway.
Right.
It turns out the guy who wrote the majority decision was the Chief Justice of the California Supreme Court, who was originally a Reagan appointee.
Right.
And was appointed to the Supreme Court by Pete Wilson, another Republican.
Right.
So these are not activist liberal judges.
No.
But they keep putting it out there as, you know, the meme, and that gets everybody riled up.
Mm-hmm.
Gets the base riled up anyway. But I do have a great story for you.
All right.
That you were talking about earlier about them outsourcing the phone calls to India.
Right.
The Yes on 8 people outsourced their yard sign production to China, and China didn't make their delivery date. And so their signs were like a month late getting out into the yard, whereas the No One 8 people used U.S. union shops to make their signs.
Right.
And we got them out there.
Oh, my God. Wake me up when this is over, will you? I know I'm asleep. I know this is some kind of a weird dream. Just somebody wake me up when it's over.
Well, if any of your listeners can spare a few dollars for EQCA.org, that's Equality California.
EQCA?
.org.
EQCA.org. Okay.
Yep. They're the ones that are sponsoring most of the No on 8 ads.
Right now they
have a challenge grant period where somebody's going to double anything that comes in so they can really leverage their donations.
All right. Well, listen, call me election night. We may do an extended program election night. I don't know how many stations will carry it. We've just been talking about this a little bit. Normally we go off at midnight Eastern time, but election night, we may stay on the air a bit beyond that. So, you know, stay in touch election night. I don't know who else. Well, we have a lot of listeners in California, on the coast.
Sure.
Who would let us know. But it would be great to hear from you, Dave, on election night, how that referendum went, all right?
I'll be happy to do it. I did also let you know, by the way, when I got married, and you emailed me very nicely. I thank you for that. And I got to tell you, I'm loving married life.
Well, that's good. I mean, I mostly love it, too. All right, Dave, take care, man. Take care and stay in touch. Why are you looking at me that way, Kathy? I said I mostly love it, too.
You betcha.
Do you want to tell everybody what you're doing for Halloween? For you, not for Molly. Molly's going to be Tinkerbell, but...
Well, you know, I just have a feeling, Mike, and I don't know, it's just a sixth sense I get about these things that probably most of the listeners can hazard a guess.
You know...
But they don't know all the accessories that I have so wonderfully cooked up.
Today...
The little baby in the Bjorn with the camouflage bandana.
Well, today I noticed it from our front porch. I could see the DHL truck that was delivering a package, a little package, and to Kathy. And when she came home from wherever the hell she goes during the day, she opened it up, and it was a pair of Sarah Palin glasses. So you're pretty serious about this, aren't you?
So, see, that way I can see the Russian bakery from our driveway with those glasses. So, you know, of course it's very important.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, God. I hope I can survive this. Molly's going to be Tinkerbell. Kathy is going to be Sarah Palin. And this year, for the first time since Kathy and I have known each other, which has been about 14 years, I am not going to do a costume. I just, not this year. Not this year. So I will be we're going to go to the Halloween parade over here in Little Five Points in Atlanta. We've got a couple of Halloween parties that we've heard about we're going to go to. And we'll be on the air on Halloween night. We're going to take Molly trick-or-treating early, and we'll be on the air. It's a Friday night? Friday, a week from tomorrow. Oh, yeah, we have to be because I have to do my famous reading of the Telltale Heart. Okay, it's famous here in the Malloy household. Stick around. We'll be right back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
There's nothing to prove to the world. There's nothing to rebel against when you get home, I understand. Let them smell those booze or use the cuss words like you like to use. And think about taking the high road, yeah, the high road, like you've always been shown. And think about what would Jesus do, what would Jesus do, what would Jesus do? He'd get a haircut and a real job.
Ten before the hour, thanks to our engineer, Ian Huff, our podcast and manager and technical advisor, Ben Birch, our military affairs correspondent, Sharon Gordy, our economic policy advisor, Bruce Enberg. And our ethical advisors, Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf. The entire shebang was produced by Catherine Bay. Al in Rochester, New York, writes about the Northeast Winter Soldier event in Rochester a couple of weeks ago. And somebody's mic is open. There will be another Winter Soldier event in Baltimore this Saturday, day after tomorrow. Anyone in the Baltimore area should plan on attending, Al writes, and supporting these Americans. You can go to IVAW.org and find out where there will be a regional Winter Soldier event near you. IVAW.org. And that is also the website that has information about what is now referred to as the Hempstead 15, 10 of whom are Iraq veterans who have been busted for petitioning their government to redress grievances. Back to your phone calls. Frida is calling from New Jersey, listening on XM. Hey, Frida.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I was calling about, earlier you were talking about the push polling.
Yes.
And I'm 19. I work at a research firm, and about a couple of days ago, we were doing an Obama poll. It was for the Democratic National Committee. We were doing a polling for them, which was totally neutral. It wasn't like, it wasn't any negative connotation to it or anything. It was just questions. And so on Thursday, the 16th of October, we started the John McCain push poll.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, it goes, hello, I'm calling for John McCain and the RNC.
Right.
And we have to do about 85, we have to make a quota of about contacting 85 people per hour. There's about 50 people that work there. Everybody's pretty much a teenager. I just was really fed up with it. I had to walk out after 45 minutes. It was just really, it like the campaign changed like overnight.
Uh-huh.
So I just wanted to mention that. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, give me some more details, Frida. You're given a script. I used to do telemarketing, so I know pretty much how the game works. But how in the heck are you supposed to make 85 calls an hour? That's one every, what, 40 seconds?
Yeah, it goes pretty fast. Like, the script is, yeah, a lot of people hang up. A lot of people seem to hang up after I got past, after I went, hello, I'm calling for John McCain and the RNC because you need to know, and then they would just hang up. But if they stayed on the line after I had already said that first part of it, they usually listen to the whole thing, and then they just went, okay, and then hung up. Some people got angry. Some people, they were like, giving their own opinions on it about that they believed it. And
well, let me ask you something, Frida. I'm real interested in your answer, and we don't have a whole lot of time here, but I used to do telemarketing years and years and years ago. One of the things I did was sell magazine renewal subscriptions. And we had a script, and the script was about 80% BS. You know, it wasn't fraud, but it was just, it was bat squeeze. It was not really true. And I had to do it because I needed the work and I needed the money. But every day when I left, you know, for at least 10 minutes, get out in the parking lot, head home with a friend or whatever, and I would think, Jesus, God, what did you just sit there and do for the past 6 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that way?
Yeah, that's how I felt. I felt like it was like a total, like, waste of time. The people who are going to vote for McCain are going to vote for McCain. If you're undecided, you're going to vote for McCain anyways. And that's why I just had to leave after 40 minutes because I thought it was insane.
Are you a registered, registered voter? Frida?
Yes.
Are you registered to vote?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I just had to ask that. Do you have you made up your mind yet who you're going to vote for?
Oh, yeah, I'm Obama all the way.
It must be particularly difficult, then, for you to read that script.
Yeah, exactly. They handed me the script when I walked in, and I caught a glimpse of it while my boss was holding it, and I was like, is this what I think it is?
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to refuse, but, I mean, I have to put gas in my car. I have bills. I mean,
sure.
I have to work. You know, I have no choice. I can't say no. If I say no, they'll tell me to leave. They'll fire me.
Right.
It's just so, like, it was very uncomfortable, like, having to read that and to hear some people's responses. That's why, yeah. Like, using little epithets and...
Is this the one that talks about Barack Obama is associated with terrorists who have bombed the Pentagon?
Barack Obama has worked closely with domestic terrorist Bill Ayers, whose organization bombed the U.S. Capitol, the Pentagon, and judges home and killed Americans.
Oh, my God.
Some people were even, it seemed like some people were like, really? Like, it seemed like I had just informed them on that information. Like, they had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is in Indiana that we were calling to today. So, and I'm thinking that's about 5,000 people we called today.
All right. Well, listen, Frieda, I'm glad you called. I realize the bind that you're in. I really do. I don't know what to say, but I'm glad you called. Thanks a lot. Take care. Okay. And, I don't know. Just take care, Frieda. I'll see you all tomorrow night. Take care of yourself, your own nasty self. I'll see you tomorrow night. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.